right, welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. If you want to be on the program today, 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222, or email me, sam@samnation.com. All right, lots to go over. I'm glad to be back in the studio. Long travel day yesterday, so bear with me if I seem a little scatterbrained here and there. Yeah, trip went really well, and if you missed, over the holiday, I did do the show live from Barbados in the Caribbean, and I talked about my experiences there a little bit. So if you missed the shows during the long weekend, get the podcast at samnation.com. Now, before we get into this whole recount nonsense, I just want to tell you, I'm gonna address this Kellyanne Conway thing because I think it's very interesting. And everywhere I have gone today and yesterday and the day before, well, this is the Romney deal, right? Where she's slamming Romney, and I have a completely different take on it than anything I've heard anywhere. Fox News, you name it, whatever, radio, talk shows. I think people are missing a major point here. So I am going to get to that. But first, let me address this recount nonsense, because I called it that on Friday. We talked about it here. Well, actually over in Barbados. But it was nonsense in Barbados, and it's nonsense here in Orange County from our undisclosed location, because my perspective on it is absolutely the same. I just have more information now. And so let's address it. It's all about the math. Look, it's math. I understand. And I may not be, well, I'm an attorney. I may not be great at math, but I can run these numbers. Now that the dust has settled, votes have been counted, Trump's got 306 electoral votes. 306. Now, you know the magic number is 270. Hillary Clinton, 232. So that's a delta of 74 votes. 74. Do not forget this math, because as you go through this whole thing, well, that's what Jill Stein is saying. You know, this could change the election, as she appeals to Wisconsin exactly. Well, now she's filed a lawsuit there and is demanding a recount. And that's where Hillary Clinton has joined Stein and is asking for a recount. It's a technicality. The way this works is if you don't join the recount, you don't get the benefit. So Hillary Clinton's joined the recount. And the lawyer behind all of this, by the way, his name is Mark Elias, and he's the one who Hillary has hired. And he's a known George Soros guy, okay? This guy has been a vote challenging attorney. He's been backed by various Soros groups. So it's interesting. It's the same swirl of the same sordid characters, the same money involved. And but again, I said it's a delta of 74 votes. So the difference, in other words, well, in order to get to 270, she's got to take away enough of Trump's 74 electoral vote lead to get herself up to 270, okay, and to get Trump off of 270. Those two things have to happen. So let's just play with the numbers. I mean, I'm no fake news here. Okay, we deal in reality, and here's a reality check. So Wisconsin's got 10 electoral votes. Oh, Michigan, they got 16. Pennsylvania, the mother load, coming in at a whopping 20 electoral votes. Okay, so those all add up to 46. And that alone can't swing it. Now, this whole thing is insane. Think about what it would take for these challenges, right? These recounts to have any real meaning. Yeah, well, Wisconsin was squeaky close. 22,000 vote win for Trump. Okay. Now Pennsylvania, that'd be 20 electoral votes. That would be a significant number, would it not? You know, Trump won there by 70,000 votes. Well, you got to put it into perspective. Bush v. Gore. Remember the seminal, I mean, this is the when people think of challenging an election and they think of one that is whisker close, they think of Bush and Gore in Florida, right? You remember the hanging, the dimpled and pregnant chads. This is before digital voting. So they had the paper ballots, you know, and the people were punching in their candidates and they were holding up the ballots up to the light. You know, did they mean to punch through that square or did they really mean the other one? See, people, you can mess up paper voting too. It's not just digital. Yeah, it's paper voting can get messed up. So you remember that. Well, do you know how many votes were actually by how many votes? Yeah, well, Bush won the election because he won Florida. It all came down to the electoral votes in Florida. That was the state that Bush, that was the one where it was, whoever won Florida in that election won the race. And Bush won Florida. Do you remember how many votes this was? Well, it's 1,700, almost 1,800. That's, folks, that's whisker close. 70,000 is not whisker close at all. It's a mile and then some. And so, you know, and I think, you know, actually an elected official in Wisconsin is saying, and he's a Democrat, by the way, is saying, you know, last time we did a statewide recount, it came out to a difference of 321 votes. 321 votes statewide. So why? The question is why? This recount, why is it happening? This is money. It's pure and simple. It's money at the top of the list. You know that Jill Stein, she's raised something like now it's up to, as of this morning, it was somewhere around 4 or 5 million. It might be higher now. So she's raising an insane amount of money. And actually, interestingly, she's probably raised more money now for this recount than she did during her actual run, her candidacy. Okay, think about that. So she's raising money, and money is incredibly seductive. This is why she came out in the beginning and saying, "Liz, we only need $1.5 million." You remember her original video? She plays it. She says, "If I get $1.5 million, we can challenge in all three states." Well, lo and behold, she gets $1.5 million, like snap fast, because there is a sizable portion of people who are all for this, of course. The people that cannot believe that the people that tune into CNN and get all their news from reliable news media who had them convinced 100% chance of Hillary Clinton becoming the next president. So when they woke up on November the 9th and discovered the world was completely different, they're still dealing with it. So these are the suckers. These are the people who are sending in their small dollar donations. And also, there's these big money interests, of course, the Soros money and others, okay? And now a candidate suddenly, well, this former candidate, right, Jill Stein, suddenly is in the spotlight. She's getting money, and she's loving it. I guarantee it. This happens because if you're in politics, you want to stay relevant. The election's over. You've got some minuscule percentage of the vote. You didn't even, register on the needle. And now you've got an issue and you're riding the coattails of disappointed liberals who, by the way, didn't even vote for you, Jill, right? I mean, Stein didn't even get their votes originally. These are votes that, presumably went to Hillary for the most part. But Stein is wanting to ride those coattails. And speaking, it's more than 6 million now. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was 3.5 million that she raised. That, by the way, that's terrible. Can we be honest? So she raised $3.5 million during her campaign and now up to $6 million for this recall effort. And she's loving it. I guarantee it. But speaking of riding the coattails, I know what people are asking me. Well, why is Hillary joining this recount? I mean, this is shoddy. I mean, here, look, guys, she conceded. She did the classy thing, although she did it a little bit late, you know. There's all these pictures of her online taking walks in the woods without any makeup on. She looks relaxed. She's doing Robitussin commercials. I don't know. Whatever it is she's doing now, you know, yeah, move on. But I'm telling you, here's the thing. She's looking at Stein. Miss, I only raised $3.5 million during my campaign in chief for the presidency of the United States. She's looking over at her, seeing her raise $6 million, and she's saying, I want in on this. Because if there ever was a business plan that is going belly up, it's the Clinton Crime Family Foundation, okay? That money... I've explained it so many times, you know this intuitively, that the entire premise of money going into the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Family Foundation, the entire reason that these foreign companies and businessmen and different entities were putting money in was because they were hoping to gain favor with the future president of the United States. It's that simple. Okay, it wasn't just the media and everybody that believed that she was the inevitability of her becoming president. No, it was other people as well. And all these, you know, yeah, look, the government of Bahrain doesn't just give $10 million to some charity in the U.S. out of the goodness of their hearts. It just doesn't work that way. So what you got is now I guarantee you the revenue over there for the Clintons is drying up, and they are looking at any possible way they can to raise cash. And if it means raising it, a sucker's born every minute. So they're finding new suckers to go after. And so Clinton sees this as an opportunity. And that, I think, is how it's going to develop here. There's going to be a call for fundraising, and it's not just small dollar donations. This is a way to court Soros cash and other big billionaires that are out there that are dissatisfied by the result and fundamentally looking to erode trust in Trump and delegitimize his campaign. Now, everybody's been saying that. But I'm telling you, the reason that Clinton is involved is not because necessarily Clinton wants to, you know, delegitimize Trump. But Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Clinton Inc., Bill Clinton, those people see an opportunity to use this to raise cash. And I promise you this, that, you know, there's nothing more frightening. It's always, right? It's always easy to, it's easy to raise your standards of living. So the Clintons left the White House dead broke. Remember that? And next thing you know, they're rolling around in millions. And by most accounts, somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 million, they made off the scam and more probably. You know, it gets really easy to get used to that. It gets real easy. And you're living high off the campaign. The campaign's paying your fancy hotels and your travel expenses. You have no idea how much all this stuff adds up. You get very comfortable with that. You start liking those penthouse suites. You remember, and I'll say this just as a simple vignette to paint the picture. Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, has a daughter who lives in a beautiful, I think, $10 million apartment in Manhattan. Do you remember where she was on the eve of the election? You guys remember this? She was staying at the Mandarin Oriental. Now, I haven't stayed at the Mandarin Oriental in Manhattan, but my guess is that is for a basic room about $1,000 a night. And I promise you she wasn't. So why is she? She loves this. She loves all the trappings. She loves the private jets. She loves the fancy hotels, the vacations, this, the that, and the other. And it was all paid for by the Clinton Family Foundation. It was paid for by the campaign when she was running for president. Always paid for using OPM, which is a highly technical term, meaning other people's money. And now that money's drying out. And if any bugaboo that she can use to get people to give her more money and keep her in the game and float her expenses and make her machine, grease the wheels of her machine, to whatever purpose that machine might be or to serve, so be it, so on. And it's happening. And so in all of this, I'm telling you, this is such total nonsense. It's not going to happen. It's a pie in the sky. If you are a bleeding heart liberal and are crying yourself to sleep over every night, you know, thinking, you know, hoping that that January 20th doesn't come ever, save your money, please. You're going to need it for that one-way airfare to Canada, all right? You're going to need, you know, I'm pretty sure that visa application is going to cost you, like, you know, something. So don't send it to Jill Stein or Hillary Clinton. It's a total scam. It's a total scam. Honestly, not since Scientology created, you know, an OT6 after everybody spent millions to get OT5. I mean, you know, it's that kind of a scam. It's the next thing, I promise. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about this Kellyanne Conway thing. Because my take on this is good, and I think I'm right. So stay tuned. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. I forgot to mention one thing regarding this recount debacle. So the Washington Examiner reports that Jill Stein has everything that she needs to launch a successful presidential recount. She's got the fervor. She's got the cash. The only problem is she doesn't have a calendar. That's right. She missed the deadline that was on the 21st of November and now has to file a lawsuit in order to get it reinstated. So these people are so stupid. I mean, what? You'd think that if you're going to launch this kind of a challenge, you remember the math I told you? The delta of 74 electoral votes that you need to do. You got to claw back from Trump in order for Clinton to win, or at least for, you know, Trump to be dethroned. He's got to have a minimum of 50 electoral votes that need to be taken away. And your biggest state, 20 electoral votes, you missed a deadline. That's a case of the dog ate my homework. Okay. So what's this Kellyanne Conway stuff all about? Good question. So, I mean, so you've heard about this, right? So Romney comes under consideration for Secretary of State. And people are not happy. I think that's a safe bet. You know, I've got a pretty good feel for the public at large here when it comes to all issues Trump. I'll tell you, and including me, I've said this before, you know, and I even donated to Romney and his campaign, you know, 4 years ago. And as a fair disclosure, I'm sure he's a decent guy. I've not met him, but I know his son, and he's a good guy. It killed me, his criticism of Trump, his, you know, the speech that he gave, just it hurt. And it hurt because, his, you know, this kind of attack on Donald Trump's inherited wealth. You know, I've explained to you how I believe in property rights. I believe it's yours, regardless of how you came to it. And of course, the argument's ridiculous on its face because, you know, Trump inherited some money, but then did a lot with it. But I just don't like the premise. I don't like the premise of Republicans using the same rhetoric that the left uses. So, at any rate, so others felt the same way as I did. Yes, supporters of Trump felt that this was a total bad move all the way around. And then Kellyanne Conway, you always have to look, in my opinion, you always have to look at the first thing that comes out, because usually the first smoke signal is the most truthful one. You know, what happens later is attack and weave to try to get out of it. But it's always the first shot that's fired that might hit it closest to the target. And her first thing you'll remember is that she went on TV, she went on CNN's Dana Bash State of the Union and went on there and said, look, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from on social media. And so she says, you know, She says, it's just breathtaking in scope and intensity, talking about the messages of anger from Trump supporters who don't want Romney to be Secretary of State. Number of people who feel betrayed to think that Governor Romney would get the most prominent cabinet post. Da, 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 da. All right. And then what evolved from there was this giant wall of noise, right? And now the latest bit of it was specifically that, Kellyanne Conway, there's people within the transition who are saying, well, Kellyanne Conway isn't speaking for Trump. Trump is furious with her. You've had some hosts, on different cable news shows calling her childish. Calling this amateur hour, you don't contradict a president. Karl Rove, I think he most recently denounced it. So people are just hands down are just trashing Kellyanne Conway, making her sound like some rank amateur or like somebody maybe who is, I don't know, looking to undermine her boss or air out dirty laundry in public. I don't know. I completely disagree with this. And here's what I think it comes down to. I think that there's more complex, and I'm running out of time here. But I'll tell you this, and then I'll talk about it more after the break. This is an excellent way for them to send out a message of appeasement to the base. Because it's coming from a person within the campaign, a person that is trusted, a person from inside the inner circle. It doesn't have to come from Trump. And the effect worked. It placated the base and allows them to still explore options of Romney and other people. And I want to talk about that here when we come back, because I think this whole thing is a circus anyway, but for different reasons than the media does. All right. We come back. Let's go through it. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. But I look at these whiny, useless tits that are out there protesting in the street. Did you hear that most of the people protesting out there, protesting the election, haven't voted? Yeah, in Oregon and Portland. I'm flabbergasted. I'm beginning to think that more illegals voted in this election than millennials.
Talk radio.
77790 KABC.
Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. If you want to be on the program, 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. All right, so talking about this whole transition thing, cabinet stakes, and what everybody's getting all up in arms about here is this Kellyanne Conway, her comments where she seems to be kind of backhandedly criticizing the decisions that are being made within the team by maybe even Trump himself to interview Mitt Romney. Okay. Now, I have a question for you, because I think this is the issue here. This is where it all comes down to. Why, there have been a number of cabinet positions that have been filled already. Very quickly. Rance Priebus, right? Obviously, they have to fill that one. That's a big one. But they've had others. There's an education secretary. There's a health and human services secretary. They're filling these. You could say more junior, but they're big social. These are positions that are still very important. I mean, health and human services, for example, will deal with Obamacare. So this is something that the media probably is going to focus on. But why? Is the Secretary of State one position where the process of selecting a candidate is being done so publicly? Well, it is public. We're considering Petraeus, and we've got Mitt Romney, and then Giuliani's in the fray, and it's not a day goes by that we don't hear of some guy going into Trump Tower, to interview for the job for the second or third time. Well, it's important. Yes, the Secretary of State position is important, especially because Trump promises an aggressive foreign policy. But I really think that there is a deliberate attempt here to create fatigue in the news media. Yes, exactly. To wear people out. It's almost as if Trump has gotten into a car and attached a bunch of little cans to the bumper and is driving it around the neighborhood. You know, and all the dogs are chasing the cans. I think he's already picked his guy. And the guy obviously has to be controversial because he's trying to wear people down. He's trying to get the media to. That's exactly right. Look, this is what you do when you pick your candidate to people to just be over it. And the only one candidate that comes to my mind is Bolton. That's right. John. Well, Bolton was so controversial, you'll recall. When Bush named him just to the UN, he was going to be the ambassador to the UN. The Democrats refused to confirm him. Do you remember this? So he had to do it as an appointment, as a recess appointment. And then there was no chance that the Democrats would confirm him. So Bush had to basically give up on him. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking so because of it, because he's such a hawk. What's being done right now is I'm considering this person and that person. And when he floated Mitt Romney's name, what Trump was, I think, hoping was that it was going to be a magnanimous gesture and it was a peacemaking gesture and people would sing kumbaya. But instead, his base nearly lost their marbles. And for good reason, because Mitt wasn't just somebody who disapproved of Trump. He was somebody who was probably one of the greatest agitators within the Republican Party who fought against Trump. So so the right thing to do there was to send out some kind of a little balloon, a little message out to the people to tell them, hey, cool your trousers. We're not really going to do this. And so what they did was they sent out Kellyanne Conway, who went out and said, "Ah, look, we hear you. I get it. And we have our concerns. I have my concerns." And then, of course, you know, somebody else had to say, well, Trump is furious, you know, this and that. We don't know. Nobody's in the room. The only people who can truly speak about this are the ones that are there. So it's all speculation. But there are a lot of people speculating on the media, and they've got it wrong so many times. So I have some track record here that I can claim. All right, we'll be back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. You can't find the words to say all the things that come to you, and I wanna feel.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. Have you ever been on a bad date? I'm a married man. It's been a while, but this one was terrible, right? This lady in Alabama. Yeah, she just needed a little bit of romance in her life and ended up on a blind date. Now she's in the car, okay? They're going off to, I don't know where, to, you know, the Piggly Wiggly or wherever it is. what? Well, this is where I, you know, get a pick up a little piece of gingham or something. I don't know, whatever. So she's in the car. Her date is driving, the guy's driving, and there's some minor traffic violation. A cop goes to pull him over. There's a police chase, at which point her date throws her out of the car. That's right. Now, fortunately, she claims at least to be unharmed. But, you know, I'm telling you, listen, if you're on a date and you know, and it's some I don't know, some guy who's got a warrant out for his arrest, it turns out. And he throws you out of the car and you're injured. Let me tell you, You got to go out. You got to call Sweet James. I'm butchering this. Yeah, you got to call Sweet James. He's the lawyer that's going to help you. And whatever it is. You don't want to call. You don't want to talk to that guy. No, you don't want to talk to him. You're done with his. You know what? And you want to. You don't want to talk to his insurance company because they're just going to take his side on it. So what you want to do is get a lawyer fast, right away, as soon as possible. Don't deal with any of the BS. Just call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation here, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Now, if you think I'm wrong on any of this, on my take here on Kellyanne Conway, give me a call. 800-222-5222. I want to hear from you. If you think I'm off on this, I'm happy to hear from you. I just think that it's all part of an orchestrated plot. And maybe that's me being cynical, but it's my job to be cynical. I think that the people in the room are all smart enough to play with us. And so I think that's what's happening. And I think that the decision has already been made on Secretary of State. All right. Robbie, cue the music. You got the music? Yes, yes, Fidel is dead. Castro, it's over. Now, I just want to point out, it's only a coincidence that I went to the Caribbean the same weekend that Fidel Castro died. Okay, before anyone draws any parallels, I was miles away. I was down in Barbados, not anywhere near Cuba. Look at these Democrats. I mean, look at Jill Stein. Praising Castro. She tweeted, Fidel Castro was a symbol of the struggle for justice in the shadow of empire. Justice? Justice for who? For Castro and his small band of compatriots. I mean, look, this is what, who else? Justin Trudeau of Canada. I know my father was very proud to call him a friend, and I had the opportunity to meet Fidel when my father passed away. We joined the people of Cuba. I mean, I can't even read this. It's such drivel. They're in the real Cuba. In the real Cuba. Okay? Prison work camps. No, totally normal. Military units for gays, for Jehovah's Witnesses. Any dissenters, undesirables. I mean, how about that? You on the left that believe in gay rights? Of course. So do I. Right there, off the coast of Florida. This is your guy. And, it's the only sad thing about Fidel Castro, in my opinion, is that he got to die in his sleep or however it was. Because the amount of suffering, of human pain, and the amount of desperation that he unleashed on this poor country it'll take some time for us to discover the true toll of his brutal dictatorship. So, I guess don't rest in peace. That's all I got to say. Happy he's gone. And that's why I liked Trump's tweet, the best one. Castro's dead. I loved it. All right, we'll be back right after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Your friends on Facebook, your friends at the office, your coworkers coming undone. They think on January 21st, every person who has even the slightest tan is going to start getting rounded up by a Trump police posse. That the Bill of Rights will be suspended by mid-February, and that by summer, Trump is going to be somehow Grand Chancellor of the world.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, we've obviously had a terrible day today with the OSU terrorist attack. We're not afraid to call it that. It seems all indicators show that there was a terrorism motive involved. So let me take you through here kind of what happened, because, again, you know, there's all this talk about this fake news. We got into it a little bit last week, but I'm really mystified as to what fake news is. I mean, the more I read about this, and it's this, you're hearing it all the time, right? Fake news. And, well, that's, look, if you're a reasonable person, you just think that that's the mainstream media. But here's what happens. There's misinformation out there, and it's not always deliberate, right? That's true in any news cycle. You get information as it comes in. And so here, this is a classic example of it. The Telegraph timeline, which is actually a left-leaning newspaper out of Great Britain, 8:05, they reported that a suspect was killed. 8:12, they report that a SWAT team surrounded the engineering building looking for a second suspect. So that is already bad information, right? Because you think that there's a second suspect loose. Then they give the all clear. Then the university announces that the suspect acted alone. All right. And then, oh, what is this? 2.5 hours into it, says the suspect was an 18-year-old Somali refugee. Now, his refugee status, look, it's obviously it's going to be talked about all day tomorrow. This is, and throughout the week. Because, well, it is, because this was a big cornerstone of Trump's immigration agenda, was it not? I mean, he was the candidate who fought and was very outspoken about curbing immigration from countries that have high percentages of people that are hostile to us. And this was, you know, he was mentioned Somalia by name. And, you know, what's interesting here, is also just, I mean, how many of the, do you know how many of these immigrants have come in here? Robbie, did we have the number? I mean, we put in, I saw it earlier in prep. There's been quite a few that have come in, right? I mean, how many do you have that for me? Well, anyway, it's relevant because thousands and thousands have come in under Obama. It's one of the groups, it's one of the refugee groups that Obama has heavily promoted. 43,000, yeah. And now this guy puts messages that, you know, show his allegiance to ISIS on his Facebook. And the media is really slow to report. So you tell me about fake news. You know, some of this is misinformation. Others is there's just this deliberate effort to not talk about the obvious, that he was Muslim, that he pledged his allegiance to ISIS, that he used, by the way, what did he end up? The attack was not a shooting attack. He didn't shoot anybody. He stabbed and used his car. And he is using tactics that were deliberately outlined in a recent ISIS propaganda video that says, kill the infidels in these countries, naming a bunch of countries, including us. Kill them. Kill these disbelievers in any way that you can do it. It even says poison them, but it specifically says you use your car. Okay. Use a knife. Use a brick. Throw them off of buildings. I mean, it was an exhaustive list. But clearly one that inspired this young man to commit these acts. So I'll tell you, this is something that just has to be talked about. And now I'm seeing this whitewashing. So now back to the fake news. I'm seeing this whitewashing of the news, trying to remove, you know, we're not really going to talk about this. We're not really going to talk about him being Somalian. We're not going to, I mean, really, if you even look now, as of what is it now, almost 8 o'clock, you look and there's really very few news outlets that are willing to call it terrorism. And that's frightening because we've just been cowed into silence by the politically correct mafia. Okay, that don't want us to use these words and to connect the dots between obvious and glaring facts. So I just it has to be addressed. And the best example of it is that, you know, the minute that one of these attacks happen and the gun is involved, everybody wants to talk about gun. You know, there's a whole wall of sound about gun control. But the minute that it comes out that, you know, that maybe there are these terrorism links, you know, let's not have a rush to judgment. Let's take our time. We really need to examine this person. Don't be a bigot. So we got to, I'm all about not rushing to conclusions, but we really do have to connect these dots and we have to be honest with each other. All right. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Looking forward already. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.